episode 16 of The Rift, October 18th, 2010. My name is Arithian.
And I'm Desicus. So this week's been a little crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, very.
What with the launching of our competitions last week and organizing all those fantastic bumper sticker entries.
Some of them are really good.
And also reading all the souls. Been a bit crazy.
Yeah, bit hectic this week. So it's been great to see so much interest in the competitions. Stay tuned after the interview for how to enter our random drawing.
And
today's interview is a treat, so we're not going to, like, you know, beat around the bush. We'll get straight into it today.
And speaking of this fantastic interview, it was a rather pleasant last-minute surprise.
Yeah. We're very excited about
short
this one.
Short notice. So short, in fact, that I didn't even know who she was interviewing till after it was done.
Yep.
And just made me excited.
So today we have Cindy with us, as usual. Hi, Cindy.
Hello, Ari. Very nice to be here. And I'm so excited about the special guest I brought today.
Oh, me too. Today, we're really excited to have Scott Hartzman, Tryon Studios General Manager, Chief Creative Officer, and Executive Producer with us. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Okay, so for people who are new to Planes of Talara, can you give us a brief rundown of what you do at Tryon and how you got there?
Sure. So what do I do here? In any given day, it kind of depends on what's the day of the week and what's the current fire. There's always fun and excitement going on with talking with designers about taking the game from where we are to where it needs to go before we launch, talking with engineers about the features we're actually going to get in for launch, talking with artists about art, audio folks about audio, and then in those quiet moments when there's no active fires, there's the planning of, you know, where the game's going to go from, you know, to its launch and beyond. The most fun thing about this job is, very seriously, I get to be involved in every single aspect, whether it's the development, the marketing, the operations, the customer service, all of those things, and of course, you know, the community also. Mm-hmm. And I get to work with a lot of smart people who are in charge of all those areas and, you know, kind of get to see how it all comes together and be a part of that and try to make sure that everything stays operating as well as it can.
That sounds great.
It's fun.
Now, you do pretty much oversee everything at Tryon, as you just said. Can you tell us a little bit about the scope for the game's release? How have your previous experiences affected this?
Oh, well, okay, so let me clarify one thing. I do oversee everything related to Rift. There are plenty of other folks at Tryon who are overseeing their own little parts of the company.
Yeah.
Small little things like publishing and the other games going on, you know, those tiny little things. So there's actually just, there's a large number of massive things going on all at the same time around here. And I totally just forgot the last half of your question, so why don't you ask that part again?
Can you tell us a bit about the scope for the game's release and how your experiences have affected it, like how your previous experience affects it?
Absolutely. I mean, from the get-go, the idea for the game has been, we want to create an experience that is epic. We want to create an experience that's incredibly high quality, and you only really get to quality if you keep yourself, you know, you got to keep your own desires and your own scope in check. It's the easiest thing in the world for a bunch of developers and producers to just keep throwing feature after feature after feature into a game and try, you know, and just hope to hell that it all comes together at the last minute. And as a lot of games that have tried that have found out, it doesn't necessarily work out so well, because you end up with a bunch of, you know, gigantic numbers of features, and none of them are really finished. So what we've really been focusing on is keeping the scope to a relatively sane amount of whether it's zones or creatures or weapons or armor or features or, you know, systems or any of those things, and keeping them pretty tightly focused on the core goal for the game, which is we want to provide a game that has familiar elements where people who are looking for their next MMO are going to want to come, while still having our own unique elements, like, you know, the dynamic content, the invasions, the world basically acting, you know, like an enemy of itself, or all by itself, you know, and the class system, and then all of the other, you know, dozens of features that we've put smaller upgrades into. Yeah. So it really is very genuinely supposed to be an evolution, and we don't, you know, we have ideas for new and exciting and huge things all the time, and the level of, you know, the overall level of experience on the team helps a lot in that, you know, those of us who've been through this a few times before can look at this and go, this would be fantastic. We cannot possibly do this new idea justice right now.
Yeah.
So we need to save that to when we can do it right. Because, you know, we all pretty firmly believe that we'd rather ship the game where every single thing that we do ship is amazing quality, because then people will be interested in coming back for more, instead of, you know, if we can ship 15, you know, I'll pick random numbers. If we can ship 15 awesome things or 50 crappy things, we'll ship 15 awesome ones because people will come back for things number 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah.
If you ship 50 crappy ones, well, nobody sticks around.
They won't be there for the other five amazing things that you produce. So
yeah, they're not going to be there to see you finish the 50 things that they already paid for.
So you're pretty much on target with the scope you've planned for the game by release.
Yes, yeah, and the places that we are in terms of features, absolutely, we're actually we've actually been playing with the final feature set for the last 3 or 4 months, and it's all been iterations up, very literally playtesting, iterating, and finishing off, and it hasn't been addition of new gigantic features, which is fantastic. There are places that we have some, I call it, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who calls it this, scheduling elasticity, which is to say, when it comes down to shipping, for example, boss voice callouts, are we going to ship 20 of them or 300 of them? You know, we have lots of elasticity there, where if we ship 40, it's fine. If we ship 80, it's fine. If we ship 120, it's fine. And, you know, so those are places where you can kind of scope back and forth without really, without really impacting quality in a way that anybody's going to care about. Where, for example, if you did a mail system that could only send mail but couldn't receive it, you know, you'd probably get crucified for that one.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have to bring up dungeons and instances because that's just something that interests me.
Sure.
Now, older games are known to have huge sprawling world dungeons that are not instanced. The dungeons we've heard of so far in Rift are instanced. Are there any that aren't? And if not, why not?
So we right now very intentionally have all of our dungeons in the game as instances. And that is, in fact, a very intentional decision. And I'm happy to tell you why.
Why?
Way back in the day, back before the Earth's crust cooled, when I was playing EverQuest. Back in the day, MMOs were used for a lot more social adventure than they are today. Mm-hmm. These days, you're just as likely to have players come online with the expressed intent of playing with their real world friends than they are to come online to try to make new friends. You know, back say 10 years ago, people like you and me were playing games. Chances are we didn't know a whole lot of people in real life that played games because it was a very, very niche habit. And so we were generally happier to meet total strangers and, you know, forge friendships that way. The people who are playing MMOs a decade later, you know, a lot of times they're coming on board with their own friends. They're coming on board with people they've played with for the last years. There's already these social groups that exist but that didn't really exist 10 years ago. And it's really important to be able to foster that kind of behavior, because when people who are, you know, when people who are bringing their own friends into a dungeon or into an area, chances are that just because of the way rewards work, when they do run into other people, it tends to not be a positive experience.
Yeah.
You know, I've played games, and you know, one of the last games that I worked on actually had dungeons that some were instanced and some weren't. And I mean, this is entirely anecdotal, but it does sum up, you know, a fair bit of the stats also. But just from personal anecdotes, you know, I would play instanced dungeons and be having fun with my group. I would be playing non-instance dungeons, and you know, the number of times you were actively happy to see another human being in there when you were already there with a group was about zero, because all it meant was somebody is after my stuff and I want us to go get my stuff, because we came here for fun. We didn't come here to, you know, make it to the boss and see it, you know, see a group of six guys standing on it. Yeah, and that's it's more about making sure that the things that drive people to play dungeons today are there when they actually can go play them.
Okay.
And it's definitely nothing against, you know, old school or new school or easy or not easy. It's not about that at all.
It's just the way it's evolved.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of social people out there that would still do well in an environment where and bluntly, me too, sometimes. But in general, a lot of the time it doesn't work out that way. So one of the cool things we can actually do to get around that, though, is remember that one of the reasons that I said it doesn't work out so well is it's because of the way reward systems are designed, where it's me, 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 mine, mine, mine. You know, this is my frenzied ghoul, and you stay away from it. What we do in the rifts and the invasions and the defend events, the kill events, you know, the entire second game of content that's sitting on top of the static world, all of those are more social, and there are still group and raid content in there also. So that is a place where if you do see a group event taking place in the Overland, you do have the ability to walk right up to it and nobody will be pissed, because those do use a contribution system. The more people that show up, the better, you know, the more you can defeat, the better rewards everybody gets. Okay. So it's less about, to me, it's less about instance dungeons versus non-instance dungeons. It's about how can we try to create social opportunities for people in places that make sense in our game, in our world, in our content. And so we just kind of shifted that more towards the majors and the epics for the rifts, invasions, and the rest.
Okay, so how is the team planning on handling looking for group tools, like a dungeon finder? Will that be implemented? And will they be server-wide for the instance dungeons? Or are you looking to span more than just one server?
Sure. For the game at launch right now, the plan is to do this. We absolutely have the core base of a general looking for group channel. I need to take a step back. So okay. My teams have created looking for group tools in a couple games now. And here's the pattern that usually happens is you can launch the tool, people use it for about a week because it's a shiny new toy, and then people stop using it. Because the core thing that a looking for group problem or looking for group system needs to solve isn't, hey, I'm a guy looking for a group. The core problem that it actually needs to solve is very few people want to take the initiative and be the person who forms the group and takes charge and gets it going. So unless you have a system that actually handles that, you probably shouldn't write up a system that, you know, that only solves the other half of the problem.
Yeah.
Because chances are, if you make a system that just lets people, you know, try to match up with each other, what's going to happen is, like I said, they'll use it for a week, and then they're going to go right back to using global chat channels. It's a pattern I've seen in two games right now. So instead of writing a big expensive tool to let people use looking for group channels, we're going to let people use looking for group channels. Then over time, we can see what kind of more complete tool we can have that does, you know, full group formation, that kind of thing.
Excellent.
A full group formation tool is not in launch scope. The chat channels, though, are in and working. And the now, in terms of that's for PvE dungeons, for PvE war fronts, right now those are cross-server and those are automatically queued and automatically formed and all of that. So,
okay.
So I mean, the core of the system is already there. It's just one of those where we wouldn't want to half-ass the other half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in some games, there have been like rare items that have a tiny percentage chance which drop off a mob in, off a mob in or out of an instance. Now, it keeps players coming back for years to try and obtain. Does Rift have any plans for that?
No, Rift doesn't have plans for that. Rift has them in game right now.
Yes.
And not only that, Rift also has them attached to players in PvP. So it's kind of cool. You can actually get ultra rare drops from just playing PvP and killing players.
Okay, a good answer.
So it's just something for everybody, you know. It's even a little bit cooler in that it also you get different things depending on which race and which side of players you're killing. That's a good example of where we took, you know, what is known as like a standard ultra rare drop system and it just enhanced it with our own, you know, in our own cool little way.
I think it sounds cool. Now, will there be solo, small, and full size grouping possibilities? And by that I mean, are all three options going to be equally feasible leveling paths so no one is forced down any one path?
So far I've leveled up one character entirely solo just to see how it could be done. Had a lot of fun with that. I'm working on a character right now that is about level 25 and has leveled, has never leveled anything less than a duo. And so it's been duo and trio stuff, and that's been fun. I have not leveled one up yet that is full group the entire time. There will right now. Full group the entire time would be a little bit rough because there is not dungeon and group dynamic content thing for every group dynamic content for every single level in the game. Mm-hmm. You would be able to. There's at any given level, once you get past a certain level, like I believe right now it's 15 on the Guardian side and 17 on the Defiant side. There are dungeons always. There's at least one dungeon always in your level range with only a couple of level gaps. And even then, when those gaps, you've still got Overland Major Rift content, and even Minor Rift content is great for the to take those all the way to the end. Those are great for small groups.
Okay.
And even in the Overland, there's even at the end of the Defiant Zone, one of the most fun I've had in that game was taking a group of three through one of those the other night. It was more than just walk in and decimate the place. There was actually challenge to it. So, it was still a lot of fun.
Okay. Now, there's been a bit of contention about how long it's going to take people in playtime to reach level cap.
Yes.
So in your eyes, you know, considering that we're in alpha and everything is subject to change, in your eyes, approximately how long would you ideally want it to take for someone to reach level cap?
More than an hour. Oh, you probably wanted a real answer.
Yeah.
We've tried four different. It's the easiest thing in the world for us to change the leveling rate. I mean, literally, we update one table and just push it, and there it is. Mm-hmm. We've tried four different leveling rates over the last 4 months, and we've tried them in different ranges between. Oh, geez, I want to say, you know, about 60 hours to 200 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've tried a bunch of different stuff in there. And it a lot of the time, what it's coming down to more than anything else is how much content is there in a given game. And then you make sure that your leveling rate, it matches the amount of content that you have. So in our case, for example, you could grind mobs the whole way up. You could do nothing but quests all the way up. You could even PvP, at least the way it is right now, you could even PvP all the way up. Excuse me. Right now, any number that I tell you is probably just going to be iteration number four. And I'm sure there will be an iteration number five and number six as we progress. But, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that it's fun and it aligns with the amount of content that we're actually shipping. If that turns out to be exactly 106 hours, if that turns out to be 202.9 hours, I'm less concerned about the specific number than I am about concerned with making sure that people are had an enjoyable experience the entire way up. Because again, it's analogous to the same question I answered a couple of minutes ago. It's more about making sure that they had fun on the way there, because then they'll come back for more later.
Yep. Okay, now it's been mentioned in passing that the game will launch with a definite endgame content, which is really rare to see in an MMORPG. I just like to say that. Now, I believe we've heard of two raid instances. Yep. There will be reputation-orientated tasks, raid rifts, and level 50 dungeons. Is there anything you can add to that?
We also have a warfront that you get access to at max level. We're shipping with four PvP instances. Three of them are in active iteration right now. You know, we play and do play tests on them, and then the fourth one comes online in a little bit. That one's only an internal. That one's been in internal iteration for about a month now. And so there's that also. We still have artifact collections that will kick in at the high end only.
Okay.
That's a system and a bit of content that you begin your life seeing and then also see it later on. And then we also have the epic tier of crafting. So crafting will also be an activity that is there. And then obviously there's achievements, which are always fun to go back and try to make that score go up.
Oh, awesome.
Now,
can you explain raid rifts to us? Are they instanced, or will my poor little level 35 mage get jumped by one and seek revenge when she turns 50?
Step one, your poor little mage is probably not going to get ambushed. These raid rifts are right now something that you see in high-level zones only. They are not instanced. People can come up and mess with each other in them, or people can come up and help each other
so
in them.
So they're like contested content.
Exactly. That's our, it's our version of that. Only it's, you know, contested slash cooperative. Because again, remember that in our rifts, you end up with the reward system for the rift takes over, yeah. Not the we're fighting over corpse loot okay. system. So and they are things where people have to players have the just since some people might not know how rifts get opened. Players, you know, ascended souls who are in the world as they spend more time on Talara learn the ability how to lure out opponents, and so that's how rifts get opened naturally. Is players lure out the opponents, beat them up, and take their stuff. but then later on, players have the ability to trade in source stone for. Specific lures that lure out specific enemies, which tends to be how quote raid rifts happen.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of an intentional, hey, come on out and get some kind of mechanic, as opposed to a holy crap, a dragon just spawned in Stillmore and
kills me 10 times.
And kills me 10 times, and bluntly, only people in certain time zones will ever get them. You know, that's another reason for gigantic argument in favor of on-demand or more player-controlled content than timer-based shared world content. You know, I'm sure anybody who's been, you know, anyone who remembers the old EverQuest days remembers very well contested content and always losing them to specific people in specific time zones.
We never lost ours.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay, so we've heard mention of Warfronts, which presumably will be available on all servers and server-wide. Are there any type of PvP rewards from the Warfronts, like that you're going to get a PvP type of currency that you can spend to gain items directly related to PvP?
Yeah. You actually get, you can gain PvP ranks, you know, so you gain, you gain a couple of things from PvP.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, you get favor, which you can spend on stuff, and stuff is great.
Stuff is fun.
Yes, and then you also gain prestige, and the more prestige you gain, the more you can rank up in PvP also. And ranking up in PvP lets you – it does a couple of things for you. It unlocks new rewards, and it unlocks new tiers of abilities in our PvP souls. We actually have PvP souls in the game also, yes. So that is something that we haven't spent a whole lot of time announcing yet and calling it, you know, holy crap, this is guaranteed in for launch. But it's something that so far so good. And, it's, you know, given the rest of the way the soul system works, it looks like it's going to slot right in, and it fits the lore very well. It fits the fiction incredibly well. And it's just yet one more piece to let people customize their characters in ways that are fun.
Oh, that is awesome.
I'm glad you like it.
Okay, so if somebody wants to, like, attack the opposing faction's capital, which I think our lore team said wasn't necessarily planned, but you could do it. Now,
sure.
Is there going to be loot dropping off the main characters like Asha Katari, or will she just face roll any attempt to take her down?
So, right, yeah, right, that's the thing, is if you're going to go into somebody else's city where all of their people are and all of their quests are and all of their services are, it's the kind of thing that you probably just want to let people do for bragging rights. So it's not really something where you would want, you know, oh, every week, and, you know, every week Asha spawns, and, you know, oh, Asha's now dead. You know, enjoy the weekly Asha loot. You know, we're really not looking to turn the cities into high-end raiding grounds.
Okay.
But, I mean, come on. It is a game with sides. I absolutely guarantee people will go diving into each other's stuff and go smacking around the city creatures. In Alpha, it took approximately, I want to say, about 8.5 days before the first person did that very thing. You know, it's just what people try first.
Okay.
So, yeah. We'll do it. It'll be fine. We'll allow it. You know, we're not going to stop anybody because it's fun.
Yep.
But yeah, we're not going to reward it.
Okay. Now, some recent game releases have been marred by gold seller spam. Do you have any measures like in place that you're going to implement to deal with this epidemic that everybody hates?
We do.
Yes.
You know, the spam and fraud both since about 2007 have. I mean, they've just gone off the charts. It's been absolutely crazy. Fortunately, we have a lot of folks here who've worked on a lot of different MMOs that have lots of different kinds of different experiences handling it. There's a few different things we can do, and actually a few different things we are doing. Number one, we do have a spam filter. We will have a full spam filter in place by launch. We don't have it in game right this instant. Right now, it's just a basic throttle to prevent people from spamming too much. Mm-hmm. But then later on, as people have seen in at least one other MMO, the ability to do actual intelligent learning filter that takes care of making sure people aren't constantly gold spamming all the time.
Okay.
And then obviously also to handle the fraud side also, you end up needing some tools on the back end that are able to analyze who's giving gold to whom and for what and Ooh. All of that. And so you can follow patterns of money and try to cut some of this stuff off at the source. You know, it's just one of those things that I think any MMO that is hoping to succeed in, you know, 2010 or later probably just needs to go out the door with if you want to be considered AAA and be considered good enough to where somebody's going to want to try to make you their next home.
Yep. Well, that's what I'm hoping on, the next home thing.
Yeah.
That's going to be good.
Good.
Now, are there going to be plans for like down the road, not immediately, but for server transfers, name changes, things like that?
Yeah, that kind of thing, we're kind of taking it as it comes. We're not really considering it something that, holy crap, we need it to launch with or we've screwed up. and honestly, there's not even plans to get that into the launch rev.
Okay.
But it is something that we are planning to add over time as needed. Right now, I think, and it's purely just a what do we think players are going to actively care about kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think players are going to care about, you know, they'd rather have 50 more bugs fixed or, you know, pieces of content, you know, 50 polish tasks done instead of having our guys work on, you know, character transfers for day one.
Yeah,
you know, development time is, no matter how much I wish it weren't, development time is a zero-sum game. If we work on something, that is something else that is actively not getting done. And so we're just trying to make sure to hit all the stuff that are most visible to people that they're going to care about when they're playing the game.
Okay. Now, when did you say beta was again?
Sorry.
I tried.
She's very tricky with that. She tries to get me every week.
I guarantee you it is sometime before launch.
Oh, awesome. That
you
just
are welcome.
Helps greatly. So
yeah, we are in fact on the road to beta right now. You know, the servers are doing pretty well. They're holding up the load we're throwing at them. And as soon as we are confident that we're ready to start handling some pretty significant masses, you will probably be one of the first people to know.
Oh, I'd love that. Well, I've got VIP passes to give to people, so.
Excellent.
Now, in the creation, what has been the greatest challenge for you so far?
Oh, it's the same thing that, yeah, it's this is a really easy one. Remember that zero-sum game that I mentioned a minute ago? That is it, very literally. It's that it's always figuring out which of the great ideas that people are working on do we want to invest time in researching before we can actually begin the development and then iteration of making sure to get them in the game. People always talk about development as if it's a single word and a single act that takes place. It's really not. Every development, everything we develop has a certain amount of research that goes into it. There's the, I don't know, what's it going to take to even get this thing off the ground? So there is a lot of R in the R&D that goes on. And the thing that most people, you know, including experienced developers, kind of forget every now and again, is R is a million times more expensive than D. And so it's how many of these projects that have new research involved can we actually get into the game at a level of quality that we would actively be proud of? And so it's the managing of the unknown while trying to make sure there's a complete picture there on day one by the time it matters.
Well, that sounds like a great challenge. So
it is.
Well, we're looking forward to the game. I know you have a really busy schedule, so I will thank you profusely for coming and spending some time with us.
Of course.
And answering all my questions.
I'm absolutely happy to take the time. Glad you found me today.
Excellent. So thank you very much, Scott. We hope to drag you back one day when you have another small window of time.
Absolutely. You take care.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Now, Cindy, what is going on in the community?
Well, things seem to have settled down a little bit this week since we've gotten a lot of the beta questions answered, and now we just all have to wait till it actually happens. But seem to be some exciting things going on. I think some of our fan sites are running contests to give away VIP beta passes. So that's really fun to watch. It's really exciting to see everybody getting involved and getting involved in the contest. I can't wait to see the entries to all of them. Yours looks really interesting. I can't wait to read the bumper stickers.
We have had so many bumper sticker entries, hundreds and hundreds of bumper sticker entries.
Really? That yeah. many?
Like, yeah, I was a little surprised, but wow. It's, you know, and it's still going, still got another week on it. So I'm looking forward to many more. Some of them are really, really creative and really entertaining. So,
oh, I can't wait to see them.
I can't wait to show them to you.
So, but we'll have some contests of our own coming up soon, too. We're working out some final details. So be watching the forums and Facebook and Twitter and the newsletter. There'll be lots of different opportunities coming up from those areas to win VIP passes, well, VIP codes.
That is a good thing. Thank you for your time, because it's always a joy to have you with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And we will drag you back next week, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Scott was a lot of fun to interview. We truly appreciate him making the time in his insanely busy schedule to talk to us. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed some of the PvP stuff he mentioned.
It makes me really excited that I can get loot. Stuff off of people.
Kill people and get stuff. Smile. Yeah, so I think that's a really good added feature.
People are really going to think I'm too violent if I keep talking about being excited about PvP.
Oh, you're not too violent. You're just you.
Now let's move on to VIP pass stuff.
Okay, so we currently still have both contests running. The Bumper Stinker contest is getting some really great entries. Remember to send a maximum of 2 slogans to contests@riftpodcast.com.
The Soul contest is in conjunction with Rift Seekers. It also is still going strong. Make sure to pop over there, take a read of the massive entries already up, join the forum, and post your own.
Yep.
All entries for these two need to be in by midnight CST October 25th.
Exactly. Now, we're going to hold a random VIP pass drawing this week. All you have to do is listen to the podcast and tell us when Scott said beta will be, and comment on our podcast 16 blog post at riffpodcast.com with your answer, and your name will go into the hat for a random drawing of a VIP pass.
We should use my top hat.
Your top hat. Okay, yes. We'll use your top
hat. Either that or the pink fedora. You guys want to vote?
Now, you do need to have that comment in by October the 22nd at midnight CST, because we will be announcing the winner of that VIP pass next Monday.
All right, so now on to the weekly Rift news. Make sure you go in and take a look at all of the parts of the Rift walkthrough up on
Machinima Realm.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, that one always gets me. On Monday, October 11th, Abigail did announce the winner of the Name a Soul contest. Chloromancer will remain the Chloromancer. Yay!
William Cook, Rift's dynamic content lead, answers some more questions, and Hinton Hammer's second read submitted question and answer.
Yeah. Hal Hanlon was also interviewed over at Rift Junkies.
Tuesday, October 12th, Abigail let us know how the development of the improved starting areas is progressing. Sounds like a lot of fun, and can't wait to get to play it.
Yeah, I really can't wait to get to play. You shouldn't be able to wait with the whole killing people thing.
I know, I need to release some stress from school and everything else going on.
The Russian roleplay community, gohard.ru, had an interview with Scott Hartzman. Scroll down a bit to see the English version, and that's another good read as well.
And Thursday, October 14th, G4 TV released an exclusive first look at Rift's Plains of Water and Iron Pine. Check out the Water Rift.
Yeah, it looks so
pretty
cool. I understand now why water is like people's favorites.
Sadly, it's that time again. Don't forget to check out the site, riftpodcast.com. We'll have all the links up, and we hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Yep. Don't forget, you can contact us via riftpodcast@gmail.com, via comments or the feedback form. We love to hear from listeners. You can also follow Rift Podcast on Twitter, and we should have a Facebook up soon. And just remember, enter the competitions.
Yep.
This is Aruthian.
And this is Deskus.
And have fun entering.
And have a great day.